Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
I don't really want to get to know a new person and find out what's annoying about them.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
They say hi to me, then I'll say hi, but I'm like...
With Margaret Aples.
And Amy Wilson.
Hey guys, can I get in here? What's up with you guys? You seem cool.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas.
So you don't have to.
Make be friends with me, guys.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the What Fresh Hell Laughing in the Face of Motherhood podcast. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret. And today we are talking about mom tribes. More specifically, finding your mom tribe.
What is a mom tribe?
Finding those mom people. We need them.
I'm going to give a shout out right off the bat to David, who is part of our mom tribe, even though he's a dad. He's very active in our Facebook group. He stays at home with twins. Hi, David.
God bless you, David.
He says, I don't have a mom tribe. It's another thing for me to feel bad about. But then he says, mom tribes aren't a thing. They're a myth of the internet era.
Hmm.
So he throws down and says, not a thing.
I love you, David, but hashtag disagree. I mean, you could say people tribes because they don't have to
be moms. Right.
I mean, they don't have to be moms. But we're coming from a mom orientation, so we're saying mom tribes. But like, we could just expand it to finding your tribe. I mean, I think as a parent, being connected to other people is important yet complicated.
Yeah. Harder than it used to be, I'm going to say.
I think this was something that was challenging for my own mom. Like, my mom had a very kind of high-powered Washington, D.C. government job. She was like Peggy Olson from Mad Men. She was like a mover and the shaker in the 60s and then found herself quite quickly, like met my dad, got engaged 6 weeks later, got married a couple months later, and then had three kids in 3 years and like went from like literally every picture we have of them looks like a movie still. They're like gathered around the piano with like 40 like great looking 60s people, like smoking cigarettes and drinking highballs. And then like she got plucked out of that life and like plucked down into like suburban motherhood. And I think it was challenging. She did not know a lot of people who had the experience of having been working. And I think she found the like suburban PTA world kind of unwelcoming and not her speed, but then like found it kind of isolating to not have that.
I think this used to be easier back in the day. I was just reading in a travel magazine that there's an Italian word called, I believe it's pronounced campanilismo. And it means...
You always love foreign words that encapsulate things.
Yeah. And it, but it's like one of those, like, this should be a word. It means the feeling when you see your bell tower and that there's an Italian sort of way of life where you kind of spend your whole life within view of the same bell tower. You're born, you grow up, you die there. And my parents and my spouse's parents both are high school sweethearts who have grown up and lived their entire lives in the same place where they still live. And in that town, I see women my age who have great mom tribes, and it's because they are actually the same people you went to school with, and then you stay there, and then you become parents, and you raise your kids together. Like, there is such history, and you see each other at church every weekend. That's a mom tribe.
I understand the upside of that, but frankly, that sounds like a hideous nightmare to me. Like, I mean, that's my idea of, you know, a really bad place, but only for me. I think that's exactly what my mom struggled with. Like, she was looking at someone else's bell tower for a lot of our young childhood, and it was hard for her.
Yeah.
And I definitely understand that, like, being a tribe forever has a huge upside, but I like flew away from my hometown very quickly. And the idea of like still being there and being with the same people feels very unappealing to me.
I'm very envious of it when I go back and see it because there's an ease, there's a community. I mean, I have mom friends. I don't have a like Sex in the City, like let's all have brunch together every 2 weeks. And I think sort of feeling bad that you don't have that is probably a waste of time because most of us don't have that. You have like a mom friend from here and a mom friend from here, but you don't have six friends that are all the same friends and do everything together. Or I guess maybe I did for a time. I had it right when my oldest was born.
Right.
We had a play group and that group, I'm friends with one of them now. I'm Christmas card exchanging friends with all of them. I'm, you know, let's make plans to see each other once in a while, friends with like one and a half of them still.
Well, you've said before too, New York City makes this harder because people are transient. And so people come in and out
right.
all the time. And so that yoga group that you did baby yoga with, like a lot of people are still friends with those 10 people. And I had that in LA. I had my mom tribe. I mean, I could name them for you. And then I left LA and had to start again in my new hometown. But I have, and I have a super solid mom tribe.
So the thing about the mom tribes that are, you know, forged in fire, which I do think is where they, you know, where they can come from. I heard a long time ago, here's some life advice for you, that you have sort of a few chances to make lifelong friends. Your first year of mm-hmm. college, your first job.
Check.
When your first baby's born.
Yeah.
And when yes. your first baby starts school.
Yes.
And as I look back, like definitely my mom tribe friends, the sort of ride or die people are people that I met through my oldest, who's now a sophomore in high school. Not that I'm not friends with moms of my younger kids' friends, but it's not the same. You don't lean into it the same way after your first kid, I would argue.
Yeah. I mean, I moved, which is another big opportunity to do that because I had to do it. So I was in a new town and I had no mom friends and my kids were, whatever, 5, 3, and 1 maybe. And a little 1 year older than that. You do the math. But I definitely had to start a whole new mom tribe and I did at that time. And now I live in a small town where like it's very easy. We have no busing. So we are at pickup every day all together. And I, as you like to say, I'm soaking in it. Like when it comes to mom tribe, I've got a double thumbs up on mom tribe.
And I think it's because you tell me, it seems to me like, okay, you see these same moms at pickup as you do at the T-ball game, as you do at the Boy Scout thing, that there tend to be, you see the same people. Like my kids' activities yeah. outside of school, it's New York City.
Right.
It's completely anonymous. I had to, just this past weekend, I had 2 kids with 2 sports tournaments, both out of town. And one of them was deeply important to my oldest kid. My middle kid had a soccer tournament and he wanted to go, but he didn't like care if, all he wanted to do was be there. He didn't care if I was there right. watching him. So I needed to get him a ride to this tournament, which was about an hour away. And I don't know these parents. I mean, I'm not even on first name basis with them. And I had to sort of like get the emails from the coach and send out a, you don't know me, but, and I got him a ride to a game with a stranger and it worked, all worked out. But it is easier when you see the same people all the time.
Right. That's a lifestyle thing. That's New York City, I think, part of it. Like everything we do. I mean, and believe me, there's pros and cons to both because I fundamentally live like small town life. Like everybody knows each other. People know each other's business. If something goes wrong, everybody is talking about it. Like you walk into a dinner party and if there's something going on in town, you walk in and you're like, I know what everyone here is talking about. Like there's pros and cons. But the flip side is if I need a ride to a soccer tournament, my list of people to give me that ride is like 20 people deep.
Yeah. You're not starting over.
I'm not starting over. It's really like tribe-y.
Let's talk about Hester's definition of a mom tribe.
Okay, Hester, lay it on me.
I'm getting all of this, by the way. We have a very active Facebook page and group. You can find both at facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast. And we asked you guys to tell us, how did you find your mom tribes? Who is your mom tribe? What does that mean to you? She laid it out. I think this is a good definition of a mom tribe. She says it's like-minded moms, parents, let's say, with similar age kids who have each other's back.
Perfect.
Yep. Hester says it can be one or many, depending on your comfort level. I like this idea that a mom tribe can be a small, a dyad, if you will. And she says, A mom job is more precious than ever when the traditional support system of close family is not available. And this is, I think this is what I was saying. Like, my husband grew up with one grandmother on this side and the other grandmother on the other side. Like, he lived between his grandmothers. I lived with one grandmother upstairs and the other grandmother, you know, 3/4 of a mile away.
Right, right. Which is, again, it's a double-edged sword, mm-hmm. good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's huge positives to that, and there are some negatives to that. And I do think a lot of people talked about, I feel like in my day, back in my day, there was an idea of like chosen family, like people who for whatever reason left their homes where maybe like they were artsy and nobody there was artsy, or they were gay and nobody there was gay, or whatever it was. Like, people talked a lot in my college experience about like chosen family. And I think that there's something nice about the mom tribe that it is kind of chosen family, but it's not even, it's just that you're maybe far away from your family.
Right.
And you need those people to do all those things that, you know, it's the thing of like, hey, if I call you, if I get stuck late, there's 6 people who can pick up my kids, know what their weird quirks are, know where they need to go. And they are fulfilling a really familial role because my husband and I have family here, but like, they're not that kind of like, mom lives upstairs and can do it for me if I need to.
For me, I didn't really think that I had a mom tribe, and I spent time, you know, kind of feeling bad about that, as I think a lot of women do. And I think we should talk about that a little bit. You know, the sort of loneliness, and how do you get out of that? Like, I'm lonely, right, and a little depressed and I need a mom tribe, but how can I go get one when I'm feeling bad for myself? But I would have said to you that I didn't really have one. And I my youngest, she was in the hospital. It's a year and a half ago now, I guess.
Right.
And there were certain moms, I want to cry thinking about it. There were certain moms who showed up at the hospital, who brought food, who dealt with my kids, who anticipated, like, this is what you're going to need and here's what I'm going to do for you. And they just did it. And I couldn't have said, you know, Sally, Jessica, and,
right,
you know, you might not Florence have been able to walk through the door. Yeah, I couldn't have named those 3 women, but I was so grateful to those people who showed up. And frankly, some of them showed up just because, you know, when you're in the soup with one of your kids, when something serious has happened, you don't have time to like put out an APB to people. You're
so busy doing it.
It's the people who sort of happened to hear because your kid mentioned it at the soccer thing, like, well, my sister's in the hospital, right? And so the people who walked in, I was like, well, like, how do you even know that I was here? And I will never forget it. So I think mom tribes can be forged through fire, and you find out when you have a really tough moment in your life who those people are for you, and then you like you file that away, like, I'm going to be that person for them.
Well, and it's also like, that is, there's this article that I want to point everyone to. It's from qz.com. it's by Jenny Anderson, and it's called "The Only Metric of Success That Really Matters Is One We Ignore," and it's about forging communities and like the role of forging communities. And it's about the death of her brother and how she came to understand like the suburban lifestyle and community in relation to like a community that came together in crisis. And this is the quote I want to read from it. "I used to think the community was as simple as having friends who brought a lasagna when things fell apart and champagne when things went well, who picked up kids from school when you couldn't. But I think community is also an insurance policy against life's cruelty, a kind of immunity against loss and disappointment and rage. My community will be there for my family if I cannot be. And if I die, my kids will be surrounded by people who know and love them, quirks and warts and oddities and all." And I think like that is the thing of like, in crisis, that mom tribe, like, you may not even know you're in it. And like, when a crisis occurs, like, you want to be building those roots and those relationships, because it is like an inoculation against like something is going to happen where you need those people to literally step in and carry you.
Yeah. I've seen that happen for women that I know, you know, women that I'm friends with, but not mom tribe friends with. I've been witness to, you know, deaths and betrayals and things like that, where I've seen these women encircled by friends, and I admire it. honor it. And it also sometimes wigs me out a little, like, oh, am I putting in the time? Do I have it? So I think we should take a break. When we come back, talk about some of the things that get in the way of having the mom tribe. Yep. Let's talk about the people who, like, the problems they're having and how we can maybe get past them.
Sounds good.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Hello, Hellions. You know we listen to a lot of podcasts that aren't our own. And today we want to tell you about a podcast that really speaks to us and will speak to any parent of a child with special education needs.
The podcast is called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ortube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. One of my kids has an IEP, and I found this podcast so validating and so helpful. I feel better equipped to advocate for my child's educational needs now.
This podcast is helpful for parents in many different situations, whether your child already has an IEP or you're just starting to wonder if they might need extra support in the classroom. Juliana has content for kids of all ages and for kids who are learning English as an additional language as well.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains.
Okay, we're back, Amy. What are the barricades to forming the mom tribe that is going to lift you up in times of need?
All right. I want to go through some of these reasons that people on our Facebook page said about. These are the people who are saying, I don't really have a mom tribe, or I think I don't, or I worry I don't, and here's why. Brandy says she's in survival mode. She says, for the last 5 years, home with two little kids, I don't have time to date other moms. And so feeling like I don't have a ride or die crew is just one more thing that makes me feel inadequate. I mean, I think it's a waste of time to feel, let's not feel bad about it if it's not working so well, but we do. Her sister lives two states away. They literally have to set up phone calls. My sisters don't live that close to me, and we don't.
Right. You have to reserve time.
Yeah. They're not my tribe in this, like, they know what happened on my every Tuesday way. So I think that's
it's interesting.
Tough, Brandy. And I remember being in that, being like, it's lonely, you're home, you don't have time to take a shower, let alone make friends.
Well, it's interesting. I find I have a very, I think I have a tribal personality or whatever. Like, I tend to be a very social animal. Like, wherever I go, I'm like, who can we meet? All right, I'll walk up to strangers and be like, hey, let's be friends. You seem cool. You know, like, But my husband works at home. He literally, like, works in our basement. He doesn't really have a lot of extracurricular activities. He only goes where I take him, basically. Like, he is a troll in the basement. And then sometimes I'm like, come on, troll. Like, we have to go out in the sunshine and talk to humans. And he was just saying to me, he's like, I need some friends. Like, I've gotten into this mode where I'm just like, hold up. And I don't have enough connections. And it's a little hard for me to relate to, because I just feel like I'm like connection-o-rama, but I see the complication of, like, wait, it's not maybe for everybody quite as easy as, like, just walk up to strangers, start shaking their hands and being friends with them.
Well, I mean, sounds like you're an extrovert, and an extrovert is somebody who like...
Yes, I'm a huge extrovert.
You get energy by interaction, right? Like
correct.
That charges you, that fills you up interaction.
Absolutely.
And if you're an introvert, interactions are draining.
Right.
They're hard and you need to recharge alone. So you recharge by walking up to new people and finding out about them.
Yes.
And he recharges by hanging out in the basement. And so...
Exactly right.
And yet he still needs a tribe. So that I think, and I'm more like your husband. Like I like my time alone. I'm picturing this moment I had a couple of weeks ago. I was at the soccer game where I was just saying I know nobody. Right.
Right.
There was a mom of a kid on the other team that I kind of know, and she sat down behind me in the bleachers, and there was no reason for me like not to say hi to her, and then I just was like, I'm just gonna sit here and see if she notices me, and she didn't, and that's some.
Amy.
That is an opportunity, an opening that you would 100% of the time take, right?
100% of the time.
I kind of know her. I'm a little shy and whatever. Well, let's see what happens.
No, I mean, I go to the soccer game. I don't know anybody. And by the end, I'm like leading the cheer kick line. And like, I just have that gene, which is like, I have to make friends. I mean, in an obnoxious way. Like, I have to like make friends with everyone and like lead the
easiest
party.
Advice I have for those of you who are having a hard time finding mom tribes, because I do tend more towards that, is, you know, find a Margaret and attach yourself to her. And I'm not kidding. Like,
well,
find the connector, find the extrovert, and hang out with them.
That's for sure true. I mean, I think that is really true. And I tend to be the person who's like, the kids are interested in music. Let's start a band. We'll have it in my house. Come over on Saturdays. And like, and there's a lot of those people in our town. You know, there's a lot of people. And one thing I will say about this, and it's kind of a refrain of mine, which is watch your story in relation to mom friends almost more than anywhere else in your life, which is your story easily becomes those are the popular cool
yep.
moms who everyone likes, and they don't like me, and they are excluding me. And I live in a town that is very suburban, and there's a lot of echoes of like high school. And for the record, although I am this person now, I was very unpopular. I was a stone cold loser in high school. Like, I had no friends, and I was still kind of this person inside, but like no one wanted to be friends with me. But I have found, like, when I first moved to the town, I was like, oh, these people are unfriendly and they don't like me and they think they're better than me. And I told myself that story for a year, and I had a lot of trouble like breaking in. And I was just at our pool yesterday, and there was a couple of moms sitting by themselves. And I was like, hey, don't your kids go to the school, and trying to like talk to them. But I so remember being that mom alone at the pool and being like, all these moms seem like popular people who are wanting to exclude me. And they're just talking among themselves because they know each other.
Yeah, it's not about you. Although I've been rejected by groups of moms that I've tried to.
For sure. And there are. I don't mean to say like it's a halcyon world where like every single person is just waiting for you to introduce yourself to welcome you into the wonderful world of mom tribes. Like, there's definitely people who are like, I'm full up on friends. Thanks, weirdo. But, and I've had that experience myself. But I think that it can become easy to project on other people the thing of like, they're the mean popular moms who don't want to be friends with me. And like, there is a place for you.
Or like, you could perceive me like, she was sitting at the soccer game in front of me and she didn't even say hi. And here I am being like dorky, shy person. And you could definitely perceive
that. Well, I guarantee you. Right. And I think that's also really true. Like, you to me are somebody who's like, you know, you're attractive and you've got yourself together and you're sitting at the sidelines probably looking really nice. And like, no one is looking at you and being like, Amy must be shy. Everyone is thinking like, Amy thinks she's better than us. That's what everyone is thinking. You know what I mean? And so that dynamic, I think, is just something that, and I will say that is something that like my husband will go to a party and chat with like four people and be like, what a nice guy. Another nice guy. What a nice guy. Like, he does not come home and be like, you know, he thinks he's better than me. And he thinks it. And he just goes and he's like a happy puppy, like just talking to people.
You know, I want to do a corollary to a rule of yours.
Oh, I love rules of mine. They're my favorite kind of rules.
And that rule is, you know, it was in our episode about yelling, I think, but it's like, if you mean it, you have to get off the couch. Like, you can't just, I said, go to bed.
The rule is, if
saying
no
means standing up.
If you want your kids to stop their behavior, you can't just scream at them from the couch.
So, I mean, I think the corollary to the, like, I am way too busy. I'm in survival mode. I can't do this. I mean, like, making mom friends means leaving the house and
yeah.
leaving your comfort zone and turning around and saying hi to that person you met once. And
not to bring up a controversial topic, Amy, but this is the classic example of the triangle. And you will not accept my triangle as a correct metaphor. you want it to be a plate or something. I don't know. I call it a triangle. At the top of the triangle is your priorities and what works for you. And like, if mom friends is near the top of the triangle, you have to work to make it work. I mean, I also will say, as a connector person and as a person who has a big mom tribe and like is probably pretty successful in this area of my life, I do find that people sometimes say to me, like, you're so lucky, you have great friends. And I'm like, so yeah, I mean, it's lucky to have great friends, but there is a part where like, you have to make an effort to do it. Like, they didn't just come find me because of my sparkling personality.
And if you're in survival mode, like if your two kids have a fever, like this isn't the week to feel bad about not having a mom tribe. You work on it if and when you can. But I think you take the small openings when they present themselves.
Well, another thing we say all the time that applies here, though, is like, don't do it because it's a good idea. Do it because it actually makes your life easier.
Yeah.
Like, survival mode is a lot easier if you've got a friend who you can call and be like, hey, if you're out tonight, can you drop by my house with Children's Tylenol? That helps a lot.
I have a really good friend. Somebody who is definitely, you know, somebody I could call on in a crisis. And I met her. So our 11-year-olds were 5. And I was at a playground at like a hotel. And I was pushing my daughter in a swing. And she was pushing, you know, her daughter in a swing. And she was sort of like, hello, how are you? This is weird. We're both standing here. I guess we should be talking. Like, she, you know, she made some sort of funny, awkward thing like that. I'm like, okay, hi. She lives in New York City, turns out. Like, our kids are friends now. Like, she just was like, this is awkward. We're both standing here. We might as well be talking.
Nice.
And she did that. And then she, you know, like, said something later on. Like, I've made a mom friend. Never did that before. Like, she was like, I'm such a dork. And I was so grateful for the overture on her part. And now we're really good friends. I definitely would have kept looking at my phone if it weren't for her.
Yeah, you definitely would have. And she would have been like, oh, that lady's mean.
Can I give another sort of thing that gets in the way?
Sure.
Laura says she feels like Brandy. She feels very lonely at this stage in her life. And she says social media can make it worse because it makes it look like everybody's...
Right. Everyone's drinking mimosas in their like cute outfits.
Laughing with salad, right? The mom friends are...
Laughing with salad is the perfect way to say it.
And looking at their kids. And she says that her oldest friendships grow apart as you're raising families, which is true, which is what I was saying before. I had a group of moms that carried, and it's okay, right? They carried me through my first years as a mom. We got together a couple times a week. We were there when our second and third babies were born. We helped one of our members through a total crisis of her marriage falling apart very unexpectedly. And now, you know, I barely know these people anymore. And I think it's okay because what we had in common was brief and intense. And then, you know, yeah, like our kids, once in a while, I'll bump into one of these families and I'll be like, oh my gosh, Connor.
You were besties back in the day.
Do you remember Sage? You used to like, you learned to crawl with Sage. And they're just like, oh, please don't make me make eye contact with this teenager.
Don't make me talk to Sage, who I used to crawl with. No.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't care. And that's okay. But yeah, it's weird. I spent all my time investing in these friendships and I don't regret having done so, but I don't have them in the same way at all a decade later.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of life. Like, part of life is that you are going to, even really, really close friends of mine, like, we don't see each other like we used to. We keep in touch, blah, 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 blah. But if you don't have kids the same age, it's hard because you're doing the things with your kids the same age. And so that's difficult. I will say overall, and I think that this is really true and a bright light, hopefully, for some people. When my kids were 3, 2, and 0, I did not have the same kind of tribe that I have now. Like, I know some people who did, but I went to baby yoga with my first and I met like 4 women and those were my friends. And really, there was just one woman. Hi, Alex, who I hung out with all the time. And like, that was my tribe. I had one. As your kids get school age, I do think this gets a lot easier because there's a lot of like school related stuff that you fall into that makes these attachments much more natural. Don't you think
easier
that's true?
Or harder? Like, so after this year, my kids have been at one grade school. This school goes from nursery through 8th grade and all 3 of my kids will have gone through this process. So we have been at the school now for 13 or 14 years, and we've got another 3 to go. And I just was saying to my husband yesterday, like, wow, after this year, after all this time, we've, you know, we've been, where this school has been our community, our village, we have one kid left and she's going to be in sixth grade and we're really aging out. And when I walk into that school now, I there's very few familiar faces. And I was saying to him, like, I think I really need to invest in her friend's parents. Like, let's have a dinner party. Let's try to get to know those parents. And mm-hmm. let's try to invest in the high school where we're now going to have two kids, where I know people, but like, time to find a new village, because this village, as much as I will miss it, is moving this on is without not, me.
This used to be my
this
playground.
This used to be my playground. And I don't, you know, I don't have anything in common with somebody whose oldest kid is three.
Yeah.
Not really.
And I've said this before, and this is a go-to mom rule. You need to target for friendships a mom whose oldest kid is the same age as one of your kids. You can't go with the mom. If a mom has like a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old, and you have just a 6-year-old, that friendship is not going to work out. Like it's true. I have a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and even my 7-year-old. Like, I love some of the parents. They seem really nice, but like, we're not really going to be besties. Like, I'm not really talking about what's going on in first grade. I've done it 3 times already. Like, I'm not going to the first grade mom's night out and talking about like how to successfully get your kid to read. Like, that I've moved past that phase of my life.
Right. That's what I was saying before.
And so that's not going to be my tribe. You got to invest in like those older kids.
And right. The friends of your oldest kid. Like, right. Like, that's when those things happen for you.
And realistically, some of those people already have a dozen friends. Like, they don't need any more friends for their, you know.
Rebecca says that she's in a little bit of an issue because she has a toddler and a lot of her friends have kids who are going off to college. Sounds like she has a real caboose. And that, of course, is its own issue. I'm thinking about Nancy Wilson here, who had a 19-year-old and a baby that she couldn't exactly go to the new moms group at the Y.
Right. She's trying to get a kid into college. She's not necessarily wanting to have a 6-hour conversation about diaper rash anymore.
Yeah.
She's done with that.
All right. So we've talked about the problems. I think we need...
Oh, we've got problems.
We need to talk about where you are going to find your mom tribes, offline and online. We're going to talk about whether online mom tribes count.
Teaser alert. Yeah. Teaser alert, guys. We'll be right back.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Okay, so I think it's a good idea for us now to talk about how you find a mom tribe. Like, let's talk about what is working, right?
Yeah. We got to turn to solutions.
There are some solutions. We can move through these pretty quickly, but I just want to give you some of the ideas of things that have worked for people. Jennifer says she joined a chapter of the Moms Club in her town.
I did this, and let me tell you, this is the lesson of my life, and I offer it to you today. When I was 36 years old, I went on a jog with my sister-in-law and I was like, I can't believe I didn't get married. I'm so bummed. I always thought I would have kids and it didn't work out. I'm 36. I'm single. I'm living in LA. All the guys are weird. I hate it. And we were running and I started crying. I had to stop running. I was just like, I can't believe it. I'm like, fail me. Didn't happen. And she kind of like took me by the shoulders and she was like, it could still happen, but you need to make it the work of your life right now. And this was Christmas time. I went back to LA in January. I signed up so against my will for online dating, Catholic Singles Club, Mixer-O-Rama night out at the bowling alley. And I started going out 4 nights a week and trying to meet someone. And by the end of the month, I met my husband and we got married. We got engaged 5 months later. And I kind of have had times where I've had to do this with mom friends. Like, I think it is okay to say, I don't have a lot of mom friends right now. I'm in salvation mode. I'm in desperate straits. And I'm just going to keep like in my little rut, like moving forward until next lamppost, I call it. Like when you're running, you're like, I can't make it another mile, but I can make it to the next lamppost. If you're in next lamppost mode, might not be time to make mom friends. But if you're like my husband, who's like, huh, looking around, I realize this thing is not the way I want it to be in my life. I'm like, well, what are we going to do about it? Join the tennis team. You're a good tennis player. Go play tennis. Like, you can, when things are not what you want them to be very proactive in changing them. And I highly suggest that. And like, this is what I did when I found myself without a lot of mom friends. I went online and it was like mom's meetup and I started going to them. And let me tell you, a lot of them were hot messes full of moms who I was like, oh no, you are not my people. But eventually I met some people doing it.
Right. Or you'll meet one person.
You'll meet one person. Get your stake in the wall that you can pull yourself up on.
I think it's important to say if you are in lamppost mode, yes, that you don't have to wait until you have like your hair done and your makeup on to go to the local mom's group. That the thing about these groups is you can kind of show up where you're at.
Come as you are. Exactly right.
Come as you are with the baby that's crying. I mean, like, where else is going to be more accepting of the, like, I have mastitis and I really don't feel very well right now. That is where you find this. I went to so many groups when my oldest was an infant because he was miserable. I had to get out of the house. And so I went to like an infant massage group. I went to lactation support groups. I went to Mommy and Me yoga. I mean, and that's easy in the city. There's probably more options. And I took advantage of many of them. And I didn't go to every single one more than once, but I kept trying until I found the thing that worked for me.
And I will say, Anna Lynn, Monica, Kara, who I know in real life, all of them talked about online groups. And there was a lot of like, well, I know it's not the same, but online. I'm totally fine with online mom groups. And I think they can be a great source of support. Kara says she joined a homeschool curriculum discussion board that migrated to Facebook. And she says, we have loved each other through a lot. And like, that's the thing. It's 300 people who don't know each other in real life. And they are there to support and help each other. And again, you got to kiss some frogs here. You're going to find a lot of mom groups where like everything you put up, they're like, that's not how you strap a baby into a baby seat. There are some bad ones, but there are some good ones.
I think the way in is exactly what she says, which is to find your specific group. And this is where online's better than in real life, right?
Yes.
It was a homeschool curriculum discussion board. So everybody on that board was homeschooling. So you have a certain commonality already. And she says over time, as the group got bigger, it got to about 300 people, she says, and now there's subgroups like we live internationally in homeschool. I'm a special needs mom who homeschools. And those subgroups, those really become your tribe.
You start to really find people.
I'm going to argue that's only possible on the internet.
Absolutely. And I know Kara in real life. And like, I know that she lived overseas for a long time in a very small community, you know, of expats living in the Middle East. And like, that might not be the easiest situation where there's only 4 moms in your 100 square mile region who speak your language. Like there might not be enough people to make a tribe. And so you may need to look online. And I think there's a ton of support. This is something that is better. You can utilize. And you know, where's a great place to start, Amy? The What Fresh Hell podcast.
That's
group.
Right.
Come to Facebook and join our group. Because I will say, our Facebook group is full of like moms who get this podcast. And so naturally, they're self-selecting as people who are like, not judgy, super funny, and cool.
Yeah.
Come find your tribe, people.
Brandy says she's getting through her survival mode by listening to this podcast. She says, it's you guys and the ladies at the Mom Hour. We love the Mom Hour. That podcasts get you through. And gosh, I wish there were podcasts around when I was nursing my oldest, because it was lonely. And this counts. And we love that the Facebook page and now the group is creating its own. It's a community, right?
Yeah.
That you can start a conversation and be part of a conversation. I love to see that happening.
And then I think take some responsibility. And I think about this as myself as a connector person. Like, I just saw this somewhere online. I couldn't refine it, but it was like a horseshoe, make a horseshoe instead of a circle. Like, I definitely think I can see where I am a person who now, because of like my extroverted nature and my kind of whatever, big social group, that I'll go places and I try to keep an open lane in my mind of like, are we projecting to the mom world at large, we are a closed group who doesn't want new friends? And like, you may feel that way, actually. Like, you may, it's kind of a lot of work to make a mom tribe. And sometimes you may be like, and settled. Like, I don't really want to get to know a new person and find out what's annoying about them. Like, I might be done. But I would try to encourage you to like, keep yourself open to like, there are people who need support, and those people may not be the people who are walking up to the circle and being like, hey guys, can I get in here? What's up with you guys? You seem cool. Which like, I would do something like that, but there's a lot of people who wouldn't. And like, figure out if you are a connector person, like, are you looking out for the moms who might need a little extra help connecting?
I remember with my baby play group that somebody was like, I want to bring a friend of mine. And one person was sort of like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think like, this is good. I don't think it needs to be bigger. And we let that person in anyway, but you know, the well was a little bit poisoned that this person was like on record saying she didn't want to do it. And like I said, 10 years later, we're all just like sending Christmas cards to each other. It didn't matter. And I wish I had gone to the mat. Carol Ann actually said that. She said, I'm learning to be less protective of our playgroup membership, that every addition is so potentially wonderful. And even if it isn't, like, just, yeah, be more welcoming. Because
yeah. And I tend to be a little Pollyannish, and I had a back and forth with someone on the Facebook group about, they were like, well, I have two mom tribes. I have like a close one and a farther away. And the farther away, like, they're kind of snobbish and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, be careful of the story you're telling yourself. They might not be snobbish. You might just be projecting that. And she's like, no, I went once and they were making fun of a gift I got because it didn't cost enough money. And I'm like, oh no, that's terrible. Like, no.
Time for a new tribe.
Bail on those people. That's horrible. But so I tend to be a little bit Pollyannish, and I tend to be a little bit like, everyone really has your best interest at heart. Like, that's not true. Like, if you run into mom groups where you're like, these people are mean, or, you know, they're not my people, you back away slowly.
I have one. I wanted to go back to the online thing, because there's also the possibility for the online, you know, meet online and become friends in real life thing, which I think probably seems a lot less weird to people in 2019. But I was trying to get pregnant with my oldest in 2001, 2002. And I was on these message boards for infertility. And that got me through an incredibly hard time in my life, because nobody, not even my husband, wanted to talk about it as much as I did, right? And I was on this board with these women who were all like, I'm 8 days past the, you know, the last shot, and I'm doing this. And like, we were in it together, and, you know, the positive test, the negative test, the going for another round. And there was a woman whose username was like Heather NYC. And we were, you know, and I just really liked her. I thought she was so thoughtful and nice, and the things she would say to people. And I, clearly she was in New York City, but like, asking her out basically was so
so intimidating for you.
Difficult. Right. Is she gonna like be freaked out? And we met, we, you know, we're close. Now she's moved away, but we're still close in that like, I've always got your back kind of way. And our oldest kids are going to the prom now. But I met her, and that was a big step for me. But yeah, I mean, she, like, I love this person, and she lived a mile away from me, and I would never have met her if it wasn't for the internet.
I think another touchstone here, another refrain that we talk about that applies, hold it less tightly. Like, you don't have to go into every mom group being like, and I mean, I found this, believe me, when I was like 36-year-old desperate dating, like, I was like, I had to remember this rule so carefully for myself. Like, every night I go out and meet someone. Like, it's fine. It doesn't have to be the love of my life. It doesn't have to work. In fact, I met my husband and I was like, oh, horrible. Don't like him at all. And I left the date being like, bad. But it worked out, by the way. Not going into every mom group and being like, okay, this is my chance to make friends. I'm going to leave the house for 2 hours and I'm going to make a friend. And then you come home and it didn't work out. And you're like, okay, I'm never trying that again. Like, it's okay. And also there's seasons to it. Like, I've had very close friends who now I'm Christmas card friends with. I keep meeting new people who I'm like, hey, wait, we might be really close new friends now. Like, it's fine. People come and go. You don't, every day doesn't have to be like, do I have the perfect tribe? It's an evolving situation. And just like, if it's a priority for you, set it as a priority and go through life. Someone just posted this on Facebook, one of these like meme things that were like, if you're looking for a yellow car, you'll see yellow cars everywhere. If you look for happiness, you'll see happiness everywhere. If you look for reasons to be angry, you'll see reasons to be angry everywhere. It might just be enough to like kind of set the intention of like, I'm looking for mom friends right now.
And then also for somebody who might be more introverted like me to accept the invitations that are offered to you. I was walking home from school drop off years ago now, at least 10 years ago, with the woman who's, you know, one of my very close friends. And I remember being sad that somebody was moving away. I mean, it's New York City. Every year somebody's moving away. And like I always say, it could be Connecticut or Shanghai. It's the same difference in terms of how often you'll see them. So I was really sad somebody was moving away and like, but that's a thing in New York City. People move away. And she said, we're sticking around. You can invest in me.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, it was so sweet. And I have. And 10 years later, we're friends. In the moment, I was sort of like, wow, like what a like, I wouldn't say that. You know what
right.
I mean? I wouldn't take that risk,
right.
But I'm going to take that as a gift. And you know, we're good friends. And
that's a nice story.
I need to be open in that. And I do. I do invest in the people who I think are going to stick around and be in my life.
And also, this is another great place to remember fake book. Like friends laughing with salad is whatever. And not everyone's sitting around with their friends all day laughing over salad. Like people hate each other's dumb faces and they, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like not everybody in the world is like besties with everyone else. I mean, it's such a find a couple of good friends and make your friendship work for what it is, because no one is like actually like dressed in designer outfits and sipping mimosas on Sunday while you sit at home with a vomiting baby. Like it doesn't, it's so easy to get into that thing of like, everyone's living in Sex and the City and I'm living in like Naked and Afraid. Like, no,
right.
It's not that way.
Alexandra actually says, she says, may I add, this took until kid number two. My first crew for my oldest just didn't gel.
Mm.
But my little one, something about these women did. So we were just kind of the opposite of what we were saying.
Well, that's holding it less tightly, though, I think. Like,
yeah,
just being like, okay, that's dating. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, it's not this, but I am out of the house. Like, that's, I'm wearing pants and I have my hair brushed. And like, it's not this date, but I'm going to keep trying. And that's some of mom friends, too.
And one other takeaway I want to have is like, it's not exactly online, but it is on the phone, which is group text conversations. Monica says she has a few other moms and she has an ongoing group text. And we actually have a group of friends that we see once a year at the Mom 2.0 Summit. We see them, but they have a group text. Like they're texting with each other every day, all year round. And that is as real a tribe to them as it is to anybody. And it's a good idea.
Oh, for sure. And don't, I wouldn't layer on anything of like, this isn't real friendship. This isn't real community. Like it is community. And community is super, super, super important. And it is about, I'm going to go back to my article that I'm obsessed with, but I'm going to read one more quote from it because I think it's a good place to end. Are you ready, Amy?
I'm ready. I am ready.
She talks about like finding this thing of like, she was living in the city, busy life, like too busy to have friends, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And after her brother's death, learning this thing of like, oh, wait a minute. Like there is a value to like this lifestyle where you just slowly cultivate friendships at boring suburban events. And she says, what I would come to learn slowly is that community is about a series of small choices and everyday actions. How to spend a Saturday, what to do when a neighbor falls ill, how to make time when there is none. Knowing others and being known, investing in somewhere instead of trying to be everywhere. Communities are built like Legos, one brick at a time. And I think that's what we're saying is like, just putting in the front of your mind, like mom tribe is something that's valuable to me. And it might not be valuable to some people. Some people might be like, I got my bestie and we hang and we do it together and that works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may be saying like, wait, I need a tribe a little bit bigger. And that's just a series of Saturdays talking to people at soccer games, hanging out at birthday parties. It's an ongoing work process that you build.
I'm going to work even harder on this. I really am.
It's so funny. It's so hard for me because like you said, like when you talk about like someone sitting next to you and not talking to them, I'm like, you might as well be like, I flew to the soccer game with my wings. Like I do not, I can't relate.
Yeah, I'm like, well, if they say hi to me, then I'll say hi. But I'm like, you don't have
well,
that.
It's funny too, because I feel like you don't. I always have to remind myself that you're introverted, because I don't feel like you don't present as an introverted person because you're a performer.
Yeah.
And so I always have to like rehack my brain to be like, that's right, Amy is kind of shy. That seems surprising to
me. Yeah. So that person who doesn't seem that receptive to you might be really hoping you go first.
They might just be an Amy. They might just be an Amy.
Be friends with me, guys.
Oh, guys, be friends with Amy. She's so nice.
I like this discussion. I got a lot out of it. I got things I'm going to put into practice. And I want to thank everybody who went to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast, and talked about this.
As usual, you guys had all the solutions.
You guys bring it.
Come join our Facebook group for sure, guys. Just come to our Facebook page and find it. It's not that hard to find. You can also just type in What Fresh Hell Podcast Facebook group and it'll lead you there. Come join and join the discussion, because there are some really awesome bomb.com moms and dads there who are talking about all the things that are important to talk about. It's a tribe. It's an Insta tribe, like an Instapot. It's an Insta tribe.
Or there's an Instagram Insta tribe, also at What Fresh Hellcast. And we're on Twitter at WFH Podcast. And as always, you can find us, and I will put a link to this wonderful article by Jenny Anderson that we quoted today.
I know. I'm obsessed, guys.
It's a great article. It's up on our website at whatfreshhellpodcast.com.
And did you know, because Amy points this out to me and I never really knew what she was talking about, if you're on a smartphone, you can just swipe up and the show notes are there.
Swipe, tap, yeah.
You don't even have to go to a secondary location. Just swipe up and all the information is there. It's so cool.
It's there for
you. Amy's so smart. Even though she's shy, she's smart. All right, guys, that's Mom Tribes. Go find your Mom Tribe. Put it at the top of your triangle for a little while.
Talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you soon.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.